There was the Deontay Foreman injury, which Daryl was standing right in front of when it happened. And apparently he has been released from the hospital. X-rays are negative. I was sure, like, the dude has not played for the Browns yet. That is a guy that I'm rooting for because I really think we're going to like his style of running. So Daryl can kind of give us his perspective on that. We've also got the update. The city of Cleveland responding with a contract offer or a stadium proposal to the Haslam Sports Group, and then have given them 11 days to respond. That's sure an interesting tactic there. So we got that going on. And then, yes, the 40-yard touchdown pass from Deshaun Watson.
Oh, it was a beautiful thing.
To Cedric Tillman, which all the naysayers want to shoot down there. But to talk about all that, live from the Greenbrier, it is our good buddy Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, joining us now. What's up, buddy?
How you doing, guys?
Anything going on? Anything going on right now?
It's a pretty quiet day here in West Virginia. I mean, between the stadium stuff and then obviously the great news for Deontay Foreman, the fact that he's going to be okay, he's going to be released by from the hospital, the CT scans, X-rays, all came back negative. He's going to be fine. That in and of itself is just that's the greatest news ever, because it was really scary watching that whole situation unfold on the field and watching them immobilize him, put him on a car, take him to an ambulance, and then obviously fly in a helicopter so they can get him as quickly as possible for an evaluation and treatment if necessary out to Roanoke, Virginia. So all's well that ends well there. He's expected to rejoin his teammates here before they return to Cleveland. So good news there. I don't know if good news concerning the stadium or not, but I have a feeling you and I will be discussing this.
We will be discussing this. I do want to say, though, I don't know how much you've actually been able to see of Deontay on the field, how much he's, you know, when you guys are able to partake in practice. But if you have seen him run, do you agree with me that if he makes his team, he is going to be a fan favorite because the man is a Mack truck?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, he will ingratiate himself very quickly with fans, because you're right. He's a hard runner. He's built for it. And we see eye to eye there. We're simpatico there.
So with all this, the big stadium news, obviously earlier in camp, Andrew Berry comes out, I'm sure not on accident, saying if it were up to him, he'd like to see the players be able to play in a dome here because they're athletes and not gladiators. And then today, the city of Cleveland offers their proposal for the Cleveland Browns for staying on the lakefront. Then Haslam Sports Group, within an hour, responds. Walk us through what all this means.
Yeah, the thing with, first of all, I'll start with the Haslam Sports Group. They got to sift through what the city of Cleveland sent them. That's ultimately where they are at right now. They've got to go through this proposal from Mayor Bibb and the city of Cleveland and just see ultimately what it means. The folks that I have talked to, there are a couple of issues with this proposal from the city of Cleveland. One, there's a financing issue involving the syntax, because as part of the financing package, Mayor Bibb and the city of Cleveland are proposing 30 years of syntax revenue totaling about $120 million would go toward the stadium. The problem is the syntax expires in about 10 years. So they're short 20 years in syntax dollars right now. So something has to happen to extend that or, make arrangements there. That's one problem. Another problem is, based on the conversations I've had with people that actually know about these type of buildings, that stadium does not have 30 years of life in it. It doesn't. The way it was built, how it was, all that, just it does not. And the $1.2 billion renovation that's been proposed would extend the life 15, maybe 20 years if they're lucky. And to get to 20 years, I've been told more money eventually would need to be spent to get it to the finish line. The Browns, quite honestly, I feel like they would like to have parking revenue as part of their entertainment recruitment to Cleveland portfolio. And the city's like, okay, well, we'll give you the revenue from the Willard Garage, which is the garage under City Hall, and we'll give you the muni lot money, but that doesn't go to you. That's just going to cover the costs going toward capital improvements for the stadium. So that also doesn't solve an issue for the Browns. So there are a lot of issues with the proposal that Bibbs submitted to them. He wants a response by August 12th. And, you know, that tells me this is now going to move quickly. The ball is now back in the Browns court here, and I think we could, within the next 2 weeks, have a decision which route the Browns are going to go.
So with the Browns, under that timeline, is that a public decision, or is that a they'll make it and then maybe it'll trickle out in due time?
I think that, you know, once they complete their evaluation of this proposal and complete the evaluation of, you know, the Brook Park financing options, I think then, you know, I don't know that there's a trickle out to be had, to be honest with you, right? I mean, because if just we're hypothetically speaking here, if they tell the city of Cleveland thanks but no thanks, that's just not going to work. That's obviously going to get out, right? I mean, you can't do a project that's involving anywhere $600 million to north of $1.2 billion in, you know, public financing and do that on the QT. That's not how this works. So I read the letter that the mayor sent to the Haslams. I posted it on my X account for folks to read. And I just, the tone of that letter was, from my standpoint and how I took it, was the line in the sand has been drawn. Like, here's our proposal. Take it or leave it. This is the best we can do. The mayor accomplishes what he wanted to do. There's no additional tax money coming from the city of Cleveland. The $461 million in financing comes from a projected $227 million in admission tax revenues. The $120 million I referenced with the syntax, assuming that like it's extended into the 2050s. They have a $20 million existing capital repair reserve fund, and then the $94 million from the muni lot and the garage. But keep in mind, Nick, all of that money is over a 30-year period. You know, that's not immediate money. So it's, you know, and I totally forgot about this. But as I'm looking at my notes, oh, by the way, the city is willing to waive the $250,000 in annual rent, which is currently paid under the terms of the existing lease. Instead, the city would like the Browns to pay $1.3 million in costs for the insurance and property tax payments on the stadium. Now, last I checked, the Cleveland Browns do not own that stadium. So just, you know, don't pay the $250,000, but we'd like you to pay $1.05 million more than you currently are to cover the property tax. And so I don't know how that is going to go over with the you know, the Haslam Sports Group, but the city contends that this aligns, this is their quote in their release, quote, it aligns with the lease agreements held by the Guardians and Cavs, making it consistent across sports franchises in Cleveland, end quote. So I don't know how that's going to go over as well. So there's a lot of tentacles to this proposal, but I got to be honest with you, Nick, I don't feel like it's a winner for the Browns.
So with all this, let's say 2 weeks from now, the Browns say we've rejected that proposal. We're going to be doing the Brook Park thing. What's the timeline on actually breaking ground and then eventually opening that new dome stadium in Brook Park?
Well, the opening would be August of 2029. As far as breaking ground, there's a lot. Even if the Browns came out tomorrow and said, hey, we're going to go ahead and pursue the Brook Park option, right? They can't break ground yet. First, they got to buy the land. They have a purchase agreement, so they have to exercise that purchase agreement. That's the first thing that would have to happen. Second thing has to happen is they have to get the financing in place, right? They have offered to pay $1.2 billion for the dome. They have also offered to invest $1.4 billion towards a mixed-use development. That's hotels, that's restaurants, that's some apartments and things like that. on the complex, if you will, amongst those 176 acres there in Brook Park. So you're talking a $2.6 billion investment from the Browns, right, and the Haslams. And then I am just cherry on top is the $200 million development that's going on in Berea next to their training facility there. So that's $2.8 billion that the Haslams would then be investing in Northeast Ohio, you know, in basically construction jobs, right? And then they're you know, asking the public bonding for future tax revenues generated by these complexes to you know, cover $1.2 billion in public costs for that. So they're not asking for additional tax revenue streams. They're not asking to take away or, you know, rechannel anything. They're just, you know, they're trying to use the existing building and facility tax revenue streams that currently exist, like the sin tax, and then again the admissions tax and things like that, to help, you know, provide and cover the cost. So once they get the financing in place, I would say, Nick, they have until maybe the middle of next year, maybe third quarter of next year, to get all that done, because you're dealing with the state of Ohio, you're dealing with Cuyahoga County, you would be dealing with Brook Park, right? You'd also probably have to deal with Cleveland a little bit in some fashion. You'd be dealing with the Ohio Department of Transportation, because you've got to make the plans for the highway infrastructure to be put in place around that complex and everything. So there's a lot to happen before they could actually break ground on that dome. But the target date to open it is still August of 2029. And if they do the renovation, the target date for that to be completed is still August 2029.
You know, it's been a while since we've had some phony baloney public resolution passed. Can we get one of those? I mean, I feel, but whether it's Brook Park or Cleveland, maybe get the governor in on this. I like a good phony baloney resolution. It's been too long.
Yeah, well, and the Browns are honoring the terms of their lease. Their lease expires at the end of the 2028 season. And then they're free to go do whatever they want after that. And again, the city of Cleveland right now is asking for a 30-year lease commitment in that building that, once again, I cannot stress this enough. The folks that I talk to about this tell me there is not 30 years of life to be had in that building. It wasn't built well to begin with. It was built on a fast track. It was built cheaply. And you know, and you're going to tell me that that place is going to survive as long as the original Cleveland Municipal Stadium? I find that very difficult to believe.
Daryl, wonderful stuff, buddy. Great stuff as always. Keep killing it on the podcast. Keep killing it on these reports. We appreciate you, bud.
You bet, Nick. Thanks for having me.
Daryl Ryder there giving us his thoughts on the stadium options.